lessons from Proverbs, finding a good spouse. And all the passages that I'll be either reading from or quoting are from the English Standard Version. The value of Proverbs is that it provides wisdom from God to guide us in our every realm of life. In our every realm of life. You know, whether it be business, family, social, spiritual relationships, we find inspired advice that enables us to walk in wisdom. As Ephesians 5, 15 through 17, the book of Proverbs helps us to be able to redeem the time because the days are evil. So let's examine what wisdom the Proverbs has to reveal regarding marriage, beginning with the selection of a wife. And just a spoiler, I will be covering the selection of a husband later. The selection of a wife. The importance of making the right choice. Proverbs 12, verse 4 says, "An excellent wife is the crown of her husband, but she who brings shame is like rottenness in his bones." That's a pretty powerful decision that needs to be made there. A good choice greatly enhances the life of the husband, but the wrong choice can destroy a man from the inside out. Let's just take a moment to ponder on this thought. Now, you know, Sarah pointed out, now Brian, you need to make it clear that, you know, this sermon applies to, you know, just a little bit more than the single people in our audience that are looking for a spouse. And it is true. This sermon is primarily focused on those who are single looking for a spouse. But I want you, those who are married, to consider what can you do as I go through these points of what would make a good spouse. What can you do to make yourself more like that person that someone should be seeking out for your spouse, not for someone else? Because once you are married, it's folly to think that it's something that can just be easily corrected. You know, many people talk about a divorce just being an easy option. And, you know, I've often tried to figure out how Bible class comments and sermons go closely together. And I think it's because we study and prepare for our Bible class and then unbeknownst pick sermon topics that align with that. I'm not sure. That's for a psychologist to answer. But we talked about this in class today, about how people just think, oh, well, if this doesn't work out, I can just get a divorce. But that is not a solution for those who are trying to be right in God's sight. Malachi 2:16 either says you hate your wife and get a divorce, or God hates divorce and you divorce your wife, depending on which translation. But the point is clear. Hate and divorce go together. And Matthew 19:8-9 reiterates the point that God really hates divorce. You know, it gets even more complicated when you're thinking about a marriage and there are kids involved. This divorce no longer is a simple, easy solution, even if you're not trying to be right in God's sight. So, kind of a takeaway from Proverbs 12, verse 4. A man needs wisdom from God in choosing who to marry. And this point is true also of a woman, but we're looking at a man right now. A man needs wisdom from God in choosing who to marry. So let's look from the book of Proverbs about various things that we should be looking for in a good wife. Guidelines for finding a good wife. Now, this is not dating techniques. This is not, you know, how is it that I attract the other spouse? We're talking about when you're looking at a potential spouse, a potential wife, what qualities should that person have? If you want dating advice, that'll be in a lesson from the book of Ruth. And that's a joke, but anyway. Okay, seek advice from God. Proverbs 19, verse 14. Proverbs 19, 14. House and wealth are inherited from fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. So a prudent wife is from the Lord. You know, success in this venture of finding that wife may depend more upon God than what we think. In view of the seriousness of this matter, do we dare go out and try to do this on our own? We have the Bible and its wisdom from the book of Proverbs, from the examples of marriages in the Old Testament and New Testament. We have that wisdom given to us, and we have prayer. Do we dare go without the wisdom and without prayer to God when we're seeking for our spouse? Proverbs 31, verse 30. Proverbs 31, verse 30. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. This thought here talks about how, thinking about it, beauty is skin deep. It's also temporary. And we can easily grow accustomed let me build that point a different way. Sarah and I are looking at fixing up a house so that we can sell it, and we have colors in this house that we really like. We use these colors often. A realtor came in and looked at the colors and said, "You did this about 2010, didn't you?" And just picked out, based on the colors and the shades, what was popular back in about 2010. You know, a whopping eight. No, it was about 2000. But anyway, you know, it's out of date. The beauty is no longer there. It's faded. It's moved on to some other look. And so when we say beauty is temporary, yes, certainly an 80-year-old woman can still be beautiful. But is that what we're looking for, this transient, fickle determination of beauty? You know, it's a poor foundation upon which to build a lifelong relationship. You know, sadly, many marriages are based on how beautiful. A man just gets totally enthralled with how a woman looks, and he completely ignores everything else about her. What the passage here, what Proverbs is sharing, a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. And so that's the characteristic that we need to be looking for. We need to be looking for a woman who has the fear of the Lord in her. Such a woman possesses the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs 1 verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So when you look for a woman that has the fear of the Lord in her, you are looking for a woman who is wise. And that will serve you far better than looks in the long run. We're also looking for a woman who has discretion. Proverbs 11:22, like a gold ring and a pig's snout is a beautiful woman without discretion. That one's just one of my favorite proverbs. We studied this recently in our Bible classes, and we all quoted passages, and I don't believe this one was quoted, but this is a good one. A gold ring and a pig's snout. And, you know, sadly, people take these little pigs that are, you know, runts, and they carry them in purses, and I'm pretty sure they put gold rings in their snouts. It's ridiculous, and the Bible says so. So, here it is. A beautiful woman without discretion. We need to be looking for a woman with discretion. You know, again, thinking about things that are fun at the time. You know, the woman's beautiful. We can brag to our friends about how she looks. She's, you know, kind of outgoing and adventurous, and you just never know what she's going to do next. Is that who you want to marry? A woman without discretion, and a woman whose only beauty is skin deep. Wisdom again. Missed a point. where I lost my place in my outline. That, I just forgot to write one down. So Proverbs 14, verse 1. Proverbs 14, verse 1. The wisest of women builds her house, but folly with her own hands tears it down. So let me read that again since we don't have it on the screen. The wisest of women builds her house, but folly with her own hands tears it down. With this virtue in a woman, wisdom, a good home can be built, but without it, despite the best efforts of the husband, it will be undermined by the wife. We also, when we're looking for a spouse, we want to avoid a woman who is contentious or argumentative. Proverbs 19, verse 13. A foolish son is ruined to his father, and a wife's quarreling is a continual dripping of rain. Solomon had a lot to say on this. The Bible has a lot to say about this. God does. Proverbs 27, 15 and 16. A foolish son is ruined to his father, and a wife's quarreling is like a continual dripping of rain. So, not something to be enjoyed. I have recently endeavored upon building a shed underneath one of my decks. And I didn't get the block wall waterproofed right, and water just comes in through that wall just ever so slowly and just runs down the wall. But that it is so slow, you can't see it happening. But then you look down at the floor, and up comes the water, and it's just covered with water. Not to mention the fact that I've yet to waterproof the roof, and I've got a piece of plastic up there, and it's just drip, drip, drip. And I'm only out there for a couple of minutes, and I get very frustrated with a continual dripping, and I get a shop vac, and I try to vacuum it up. It's just annoying. So I think the imagery here, at least I can very well relate to, that a quarrelsome woman or a contentious woman is not the type of person we want to seek out as a spouse. Proverbs 21, verse 9. Proverbs 21, verse 9. It is better to live in a corner of a housetop than in a house shared with a quarrelsome wife. And likewise in 21:19, it is better to live in a desert than with a quarrelsome and fretful woman. And so we go from a sopping wet issue to an arid desert. But a quarrelsome woman is not the goal of who we're looking for. You know, it's better to be single and alone than to be married to the wrong person. And again, remember that I'm talking to those who are seeking a spouse. I'm not talking to those who are already married. Perhaps you're in a marriage with a quarrelsome woman. I'll have a thought on that later. To be married to a godly woman, however, is a beautiful blessing from the Lord. Proverbs 18:22. Says, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. And with the aid of Proverbs, we are more likely to find a good spouse. The same is true for women in the selection of a husband. But just a takeaway from these verses is God provides wisdom in choosing who a man should marry. So the selection of a husband. There are ways to learn about a man. You know, and I didn't cover earlier about how can we know if a woman is contentious or not. How does she treat you? How does she treat her parents? How does she treat telemarketers when they call? How, you know, look at all these various things for whether or not how this woman is going to act. Same thing with a man. Let's talk about that. There are ways to learn about a man. Proverbs 12, verse 10. Whoever is righteous has regard for the life of his beast, but the mercy of the wicked is cruel. So how does a man treat animals? You know, it reveals a lot about his character. You know, a lot of times it'll be in situations where he doesn't think anybody is watching. But many times it'll just become the way he treats animals. And here we have, you know, a righteous has regard for the life of his beast. That is not an advocate to bring your animals inside. I'm against that. But anyhow, look at how a man, how the guy you're considering treats animals. Does he listen to the advice of others? Proverbs 12:15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. And notice it doesn't say his own advice. He listens to advice. So is this guy the kind of guy that won't listen to directions and then refuses to use a GPS? Now, I will admit I don't listen to directions because it just doesn't work for me. But I absolutely listen to my GPS. If it tells me to turn left, I will do it. Hopefully not into a lake. But nonetheless, does the man listen to advice of others? Does he listen to your advice when you're talking with him? What type of company does he keep? Proverbs 13, verse 20, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. So, who is he keeping companionship with? I have... Probably many of us have stories like this, but I had a friend growing up, and it was when I was just a lot more naive than I am now, and I never thought anything about who it was that he was hanging out with. And he got married to one of those girls. I never thought anything about it. And he never really changed who he was hanging out with. He and his wife came to church. They had kids. All of them came to church. And then all of a sudden, just out of nowhere, they get start having marriage troubles. They get a divorce. She gets fired from her job for drug use. And, you know, when I started, you know, just trying to figure it out and make sense of this whole thing, this good person who had been coming to church, you know, every time, Sunday and Wednesday, was always there, was participating in the worship service, leading prayers and songs. How could this happen? Well, I found out, talking to him more and more, they never changed their friends from their worldly friends. After they became Christians, after they became married, they never changed their worldly friends. And their friends kept taking them to parties, kept taking them to this place, and they slipped back, or really maybe never even became, but they slipped into that way of life. Destroyed her career. She was a nurse. Nurses cannot have a drug rap history. She's done with her career, has to pick a new one. Divorce with children, it's terrible. So, who is this gentleman hanging out with? Because that is basically how you are going to turn out as well. You know, there's a worldly wisdom out there on this that says that you are the average of your five closest friends. So who are those five closest friends? And is that who you want to become? Is he quick-tempered? Proverbs 14:29. Whoever is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who has hasty tempers exalts folly. You know, this, whether the person is quick-tempered or not, reveals whether he is a person of understanding. How does he earn his living? Proverbs 15:27. Whoever is greedy for unjust gain troubles his own household, but he who hates bribes will live. And, you know, just how does he earn his living? Now, you know, when I was putting this together, and Sarah and I have had conversations, that had Sarah met me when I was in high school, I would fail so many of these tests. I was greedy for unjust gain. I wanted to get rich quick. Well, I still wouldn't mind getting rich quick, but, you know, I didn't understand that it was folly. you know, that there was nothing to those ideas and plans. I also, you know, was not the best at listening to other people's advice. So, when you're thinking about these things, realize that men can mature and grow, but if they show no evidence of growth, then I consider that. Listen, I don't have a proverb for this. I know there is one, but I can't think of it off the top of my head. Listen to what other people think about this person, particularly your parents. Let's see here. Proverbs 15:27. Does he feel like he always has to put his 2 cents worth in? And this is the one that had Sarah met me when I was in high school. She would have been like, yes, yes, he always does. But anyway, surely I've matured past that. Proverbs 17:27-28. Whoever restrains his words has knowledge, but he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. Even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is deemed intelligent. Everybody knew my intelligence in high school, and it was not because I kept my mouth quiet. So think about this. When you're dealing with and looking at a man and considering whether or not you want to marry this person, considering whether or not he is a reasonable person, this one goes so much in line with the one earlier about listening to the advice of others. It is impossible to listen while you are running your mouth constantly, all the time. So, the Proverbs can certainly guide a woman in deciding who to marry. Proverbs 21:13. I got one more point. Does he have compassion for the poor? If so, his prayers will be answered. Whoever closes his ears to the cry of the poor will himself call out and not be answered. There's also men to definitely avoid. Quick-tempered man, Proverbs 22:24-25, make no friendship with a man given to anger, nor go with a wrathful man, lest you learn his ways and entangle yourself in a snare. And really, this is true of women as well, but I kept it on the men's point because it talks about going with a man. Avoid those who are given to anger and who are described as wrathful. Let's talk about God provides wisdom in choosing who a woman should marry. Let's talk about men and women to definitely avoid. So now I'm talking to men thinking about a woman and a woman thinking about a man. These pieces of wisdom are true regardless of gender. And such is true of many of the points I made previously. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. Verse 20 beginning. Proverbs 6, verse 20. My son, keep your father's commandment and forsake not your mother's teaching. Bind them on your heart always, tie them around your neck. When you walk, they will lead you. When you lie down, they will watch over you. And when you awake, they will talk with you. Just a quick pause there. Many times our parents are the last ones we want to listen to for advice when we're looking for a spouse. And I don't mean to single out those who are older and might be looking for a spouse, but this point that I'm making right now is to those who are younger, especially those who are still living with their parents, and their parents have thoughts on who they are dating or considering dating. Please listen to the wisdom of your parents. They have gone down the road a little further than you have. And though while at this point in your life, you might literally know everything that you need to know, or so you think, your parents know that they don't know everything. And that's the difference between being young and being older, is that the more mature you get, you realize how much you don't know. But I kind of went off on a side point there. Listen to the advice of your parents is the first point I want to make from this. Verse 23. For the commandment is a lamp and the teaching a light. For the reproofs of discipline are the way of life, to preserve you from the evil woman, from the smooth tongue of an adulteress. I find this so interesting. He's talking about listen to the advice of your parents. Listen, listen, listen. Why? To preserve you from the evil woman. And it goes back to the very first passage I started with, 12:4, that if you choose the wrong woman, she'll rot you from the inside out. So verse 25, do not desire her beauty in your heart, and do not let her capture you with her eyelashes. For the price of a prostitute is only the loaf of bread, but a married woman hunts down a precious life. And so here we have a point of making sure that you stick with looking for someone who, one, is free to be married, you know, is single, has not been married before, is not an adulteress, is not someone who just goes with any single person, whether for money, like a prostitute, or just because it's the fun thing to do on the weekend. Do not go after such a frivolous woman or a woman who's always looking for the next best thing. Verse 27, we're now switching to the idea of what a woman should consider about a man. Can a man carry fire next to his chest and his clothes not be burned? Or can he walk on hot coals and his feet not be scorched? So is he who goes in to his neighbor's wife. None who touches her will go unpunished. And so the idea is, women, do not choose a man who, quote-unquote, cheats on you during a relationship, or a man who is always bouncing to the next woman, to the next woman, to the next woman. And I'm not talking about a man who has dated several people, but I'm talking about a man who is not true to his word, who is always looking for the next best thing, again, that's next pleasure, whatever suits his need at that moment. Again, Solomon is saying, please listen to the teachings of your parents, because marrying someone like this, it's not going to go well in your relationship. There's no magic thing that happens because people take vows to change a person's personality if they're not trying to change. Proverbs 23. Let's turn and look at that. Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs 23:29, beginning. The point here that we're going to make is, don't marry a drunkard. And I think it would also be true is, don't marry anyone who's dependent on illicit drugs, or, I'm not even sure what illicit means, but, who's addicted to drugs or to alcohol. Who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has strife? Who has complainings? Who has wounds without cause? Who has redness of eyes? I'll just take a pause there. Had a friend come pick me up one time in high school, and for some reason he made me drive his car, and I had no idea why. I was just very naive, as I mentioned earlier. And we're driving around, and I was like, something smells like nail polish remover. What is that smell? And everybody laughed. Nobody would answer. And anyway, discovered later they were drunk, and it was interesting because they were just hitting each other all the time, and they were hitting each other hard. And then the next day they're like all bruised up, and they're like, what's going on here? You know, where did I get all bruised up? And it just, when I read this passage, I just think of that memory from my past. Those who tarry long over the wine, those who try mixed wine, do not look at wine when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup, and goes down smoothly, but in the end bites like a serpent and stings like an adder. Your eyes will see strange things, and your heart will utter perverse things. You will be like one who lies down in the midst of the sea, like one who lies on the top of a mast. They struck me, you will say, but I was not hurt. They beat me, but I did not feel it. When shall I awake? I must have another drink. And so why is it that I'm being so harsh on this sinner? Doesn't he need compassion? Doesn't he need Jesus Christ? Yes, he does. You do not have to make them your spouse, though. You do not. You need to bring them Jesus. If they repent and turn away from it and show fruits of repentance, then consider it. But you do not need to make someone your spouse just because you have care for them. You're teaching them the gospel. Do not make that mistake. Particularly women, because they are, in general, caretakers. Will do this for men. They will marry men who they are trying to fix, who they are tied up into their emotional issues. Do not do that. If they're broken when you marry them, they're going to probably stay broken. Proverbs 21:17. Whoever loves pleasure will be a poor man, and whoever loves wine and oil will not be rich. And a similar passage, slightly different point, but Proverbs 10:4, a slack hand causes poverty, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. So the idea that I want to talk about on these two verses is, one of the number one stated, I'll call it excuse, for divorce is financial issues. You need to make sure that you're on the same page with your spouse, or can get on the same page with your spouse about financial things. If the girl likes to wear high-end clothes, name brand, you know, and you have a financial plan where you can afford that, okay. But if you're the money miser who likes to go to Goodwill, realize that that's going to cause issues in your marriage unless y'all can get on the same page. Another thought there from Proverbs 10:4 is that, but the hand of the diligent makes rich, a slack hand causes poverty, or other translations say lazy. So if your partner-to-be, your spouse-to-be is lazy, this is not going to go well for you in life. At any point in time, whether male or female, if they are lazy, that is someone to avoid. So, all leading excuses for divorce, these passages that we talked about. And again, I call it an excuse because the cause is a lack of love for God and a lack of respect for yourself and a lack of diligence in working to resolve these issues once you are married. So, final point that I want to make in conclusion. Among the most important decisions we will make in life will be who is it that I shall spend my life with, and who will be the father or mother of my children. Now, once we've made a choice and we've gotten married, that choice is no longer there. We are married. We are committed to that relationship. Jesus only gives one out of marriage. Well, I should say two. One is death. One is death. And the second is either the husband or the wife being unfaithful. And, you know, just a sad point. Sometimes people who know the Word of God, and they'll see, you know, the only way I'm going to get out of this is if she dies or if she cheats on me. And while they're not willing to hire an assassin or murder her, they are willing to put their wife in danger They're going to treat her terribly. They're going to even introduce her to other guys to try to get her to cheat. And I tell you, you carry guilt for that. If that is your plan to get out of marriage, you will carry guilt for that. That plan. So, I've talked a lot about how to choose the right spouse. But what if you are that spouse in a relationship, and I talked about things, and you say, you know, Brian just said that my wife shouldn't have married me, my husband shouldn't have married me. What am I supposed to do? You're supposed to make yourself more like that person you need to be right in God's sight. Make yourself like that attractive woman or man that the book of Proverbs is outlining here. And you're like, well, that's really hard. Let me just throw an idea out there for you. Let's say that you have 100 experiences and you learn from 5 of them. So you have 100 experiences, let's say, where you either did or didn't lose your temper. You have 100 of those, and you learn from 5 of them, okay? So you have a 5% growth rate just naturally. All right, let's say you focused on it and put some effort on it, and you learn from 10 of those, 10 instead of 5. What you've just done is doubled your likelihood, your personal likelihood of becoming a better person, a better spouse to your mate. And you might say, but Brian, I'm still failing 90% of the time. I'm not learning from 90% of my life events. Don't look at it that way. Look at how you're improving. Look at how it's a positive, how you've learned twice as much as you used to. And then maybe focus on adding another 5. 15 out of 100 times you've learned, and especially learned from when you kept your temper, if that's the thing you're trying to overcome. How is it that I was able to keep my temper in this scenario versus that one? Oh, I see that I just had a good meal. Okay, maybe my blood sugar's unstable and I can help myself by stabilizing my blood sugar, or whatever the case may be. Try to learn. Try to become that better spouse. And, you know, once we start talking about having children, once you have children in a relationship, even with a divorce, the children are still there, and it's devastating to the family, devastating to those children. Malachi 2:16, again, it's rendered a lot of different ways in different translations, but it's very clear that divorce causes havoc on a family. And you can see it in your own life. When you talk to others who've gone through that, or you yourself have gone through it. So, back to the thought of choosing a spouse. Do we dare make such a major decision without consulting the wisdom found in God's Word? I certainly did not exhaust all of the Proverbs has to say about selecting a spouse. In fact, one time my slide didn't look just right. It looked unbalanced, so I quickly found another verse to add in there. It is so easy when you read through the book of Proverbs with a specific thought in your mind of, I want to gain what the Proverbs has to say about selecting a spouse. And it's interesting how many of the passages you've read a certain way will have a different meaning with that thought and mindset in mind as you're reading. I trust that we can see how the Proverbs are extremely practical and worthy of careful study. If you have need of help of those who are here today, perhaps you would like some advice on choosing the right spouse. You know, there are those here wiser than I in this, and I certainly will give you what little 2 cents I have. But, you know, we come together to gain information and to build each other up, you know, to edify one another. So don't go it alone. You know, talk to each other about the things that you're going through. Perhaps you're a spouse and you're really trying to be a better spouse. Talk to those marriages, to those people in marriages that you look up to, that you admire. Talk to them and say, be very specific. How did you make this work? I am struggling with this. and just see what wisdom they have to offer. Now, maybe it's something really serious and a little awkward to bring up in just casual conversations after church. Ask them over to eat. Ask them if you can go to their house to eat and say, I've got something I need to serious to talk to you about. I think I'm pretty comfortable in saying that we'll all make time for that. It's very important. Perhaps you haven't started your walk with Jesus Christ today. That opportunity is available to you now as we stand and sing. Let it be known by coming forward.